Pick it up.
Look, I said beans, not green.
You said green.
I said beans.
All right. Mm-hmm. There you go. Beans. Pick it up away.
So fun fact, he actually was a cook at a Ramada Inn, but I think we all agree, comedy's probably better.
I just love the fact that I'm someone who can make people happy in different areas. You know, we're all looking for that.
And he's amazingly positive despite a really challenging start to his life.
I was abandoned as an infant. I was found by my mother randomly, who took me to the hospital. I lived. I was in coma and been starved.
He's comedian, actor, all-around entertainer Tommy Davidson, sharing his amazing stories and maybe taking over just a little bit.
On my episode of The Pulse.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. By now, hopefully you know what we do here, talking to people who are doing big things. They're sharing their stories. They're making us laugh. They're entertaining us. They're changing the world in some circumstances. And this particular gentleman doing a little bit of all of that stuff. But I got to tell you, Mr. Tommy Davidson joins us. Thank you for taking some time with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I was just out shooting a story. And as I often do when I'm talking to different people, I mention who I'm getting ready to talk to. Man, the unbelievable level of, I know Tommy Davidson. They all know you from something different. Everyone knows In Living Color, but then like 50 movies and stand-ups. And is that kind of a standard response?
Yeah, and I love it because, you know, I've been around for 35 years. I've done cartoons, movies, TV. You know, just all episodics, you know, guest starring everywhere. So I like it because it actually does really good when it comes to my stand-up. You know, because people don't know me for one thing. They all come to see what they love, you know, and then they get a surprise to get me doing stand-up. So
I feel like as somebody who's not funny and hasn't ever had to explore that, I don't know. I wonder that would be challenging as you've got a situation where everybody is like, man, I don't want to see In Living Color. Do The Prouds. I don't want to see The Prouds. Go, and you could just keep going on and on and on. Or are they just all embracing everything?
Yeah, they are. They are. And I can, you know, I do requests. You know, somebody asks for Varnell Hill. I go, did you miss me? You know, who can take the children? They ask me for Proud Family. I go, Sugar Mama, give me The Prouds next. You know, so. I got a little bit of everything for everybody. And most of all, I'm just grateful for having such a versatile career. I just went into smooth jazz.
Yeah.
And that's been going really good. I'm on my sixth single. I'm one of the top, you know, the new top names in smooth jazz. It takes me around the world to perform. I've been wanting to do music since I was six. So here we are. We're doing something else still, you know?
I feel like yourself and there are a couple others, but forget them because this is interviewing you. I feel like the longer people are around, you kind of find out about all of this additional talent. And you almost had to like pick a lane until you get later. Was that challenging? Like you're a musician, you're an actor, you're a comedian, you're an author. But at some point you kind of have to pick them or you just do them all.
It just, you know, I take my time when I feel like it's the time to start doing that. I just do it. You know, a lot of people out there, a majority of people out there, they need reasons to keep going out here. You know, this we're going through a tough period in this country and just life in general. I just love the fact that I'm someone who can make people happy in different areas. You know, we're all looking for that. And so if I can give somebody a moment of happiness, you know, as hard as it can be out here, because I'm a human being too, you know. I know how valuable it is. And that's why I work so hard. This was a gift. This was my talent given to me. I didn't discover it. My friend discovered it and said, you better go to the comedy club with that. And it was already there. So that one pretty much takes care of itself. The other stuff is applied learning, you know, learning how to act, learning how to TV act, movie act, learning how to write, learning how to author and, you know, learning all the technical aspects and just having enough courage and excitement for that business to just keep doing things, new things.
You talked about the kind of friend directing you or pointing you in the direction of comedy. Let's step back a little further than that, because as I always do research for people we're interviewing and followed you for years and could tell a bunch of stories of different characters and laughing and what have you, I did not know your story. And as I go back and look at the story, can you share some of that with us? Like, you got, life was a rough beginning for you.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was abandoned as an infant. I was found by my mother randomly, who took me to the hospital. I lived. I was in coma and been starved. Who knows how, nobody knew how long I was there. And ended up growing up till I was five in Laramie, Wyoming, and Fort Collins, Colorado. And I didn't know I was white, but I didn't know I was black. I just knew that we were different colors and that didn't matter. Until I moved to Washington, D.C., that it was like, okay, you're black, you're white. And that whole thing happened, you know? So I can't go in front of a bunch of white people and go, hey, man, I'm white too. Well, right here, you know?
Right.
But that made a difference in the way that I grew up and the way that I saw the world, because my family loved me. I didn't know any difference. And looks like the world judges that.
Yeah.
And because of my experience, I don't. I got to be probably the only black person walking the USA that's an advocate for well-meaning white people. Because I know for a fact my family couldn't stand what happened. They couldn't stand racism. And that's really who they are.
Yeah. And so that it's interesting. And the reason I go back to that, and you've been open about it, you talk about these situations, but the reason I go back to that is because it's a really interesting path to comedy. You know, and it seems like it's a, and you're just explaining it, like it is a path to who you are. But did you have to kind of go down that path? Did you have to learn to be that more resilient person? Did you, or you just were always funny and you had to kind of had to pull it out?
I was always a happy kid, which translated into a happy person. So a lot of things happened to me that didn't happen to them because I was black. Mm-hmm. And I had to concede, well, you know what? We are different. We are from different races and the world operates based on that. Thank God I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought we were like animals. You know, I grew up in farms and had a lot of litters. We loved when puppies were born because we can play with them, you know, and the mom could be a white cat and have two black kittens, one white one, a gray one, and a brown one. And you know, if you grabbed one of them too early, she'd come over there, you know? She loved them all the same, is what I'm saying. And so once I got okay with exactly where I come from and finding out where I come from and kind of finding out how I got here to these United States, I'm fine. Because there's no one different in this whole country that didn't come from somewhere else except for the Native Americans. So, you know, I just live with facts. Yeah. You know, the fact is, if you work really hard, you know, you're going to succeed eventually. If you're nice and really sincere about it, you will get that in return. Just the basics that I learned from my launch pad.
Yeah, and held on to that through 30 plus years of successful career. So you started talking about this entryway into comedy. So a friend, and you go through the years, you're not five anymore, you're now 18, 19, what have you. And a friend says, you're funny, let's go to the strip club?
He said, you're funny, I got to find a place for you to perform.
Okay.
He worked there. So he talked to the manager and let me go on stage. So the place wasn't like fancy at all. The place was the worst. Like, I'm not going down there. And he said, you know, just go on the mic and say something. And from the first thing I said, people laughed. I stayed at that club for probably about 3 months. And that was the end of that because promoters came. I started opening up for big acts like Luther Vandross. And next thing you know, a year later, I was in Hollywood, and 3 years after that, in Living Color. So it was already there. I just had to, you know, give it a chance. You know, I was happy. I was working at the Ramada Inn as an assistant chef at 19, you know, had 2 cars and an apartment. Hey, you know, figure I was on my way. But now I can cook in my own kitchen.
Right. And I'm guessing it's a bigger kitchen. It's a nicer life that came out of all that. It's always fascinating to me because we have a lot of different people on the show and different people have different stories, obviously. But I always ask them, like a friend said to you, you're pretty funny. Go to this club where I work and get up there and try to be funny. And that didn't seem all that unusual to you. Like if somebody said that to me, I'm like, what's wrong with you? I'm not, But you're like, okay,
I'll try it. I mean, he trust me, he browbeated me for months over that. I finally was like, okay, I'll go, you know? And I looked at the manager and the manager said, there's the mic, go ahead. And I looked at my friend Howard and I said, well, what am I supposed to say? He said, I don't care what you say, man, just say anything. And from the first thing I said, it was a laugh. So it was already there.
Wow. You just needed somebody to help you discover it. So this happens, and you say that then shortly thereafter, you're on stage performing with Luther Vandross and some of the greats and opening for that.
Yeah.
Like, do you still view
the
it?
The word got out.
That fast from there?
Yeah.
So you view yourself as an overnight success, just waiting to be discovered?
Oh, no. Anybody who's an overnight success, there's years behind that night, the morning they woke up. You know, okay. You know, there's years behind that. You know, I'm still working on my success because it isn't just career, you know. It has to do with me, you know, being the type of human being that I want to be, you know, in my one shot at life, you know, and being able to do some of the things I've seen my mother do, you know, help a lot of people. And she just was always doing something for someone. And she was happy doing it. And she passed away probably about 20 years ago. And I swear, I used to say, why are you always helping people? And now I'm exactly like her.
You know?
Yeah,
I do. My father passed away about almost 4 years ago. And I used to have the same type of discussion. I was like, Dad, like, come on, we got stuff we need to do too. Like, you're out there taking care of all of these folks. People still stop me on the street talking about the things that are going on. And it wasn't until I got older where I was like, I understand this. I understand why you do these types of things and still pursuing it. That's amazing. But those stories, it's hard to tell somebody who just talked about how they were abandoned as a baby, that they seemingly have lived a charmed life. But you have, you know, you're discovered, you're Luther Vandross, you do the Apollo and win the Apollo. And is it true that I'm like, you were living in the same building as Martin Lawrence, you met Robert Townsend, like all of these things just started falling in line.
Yeah, that's on my Yellow Brick Road, you know? Just that's been my journey. Somebody told me the other day, I was trying to get them to buy into this idea I was doing, you know, that, you know, because I'm real creative. They're going, you know, you're one of these type of people that goes down like a million yellow brick roads and tries to make something happen. And I go, nah, there's only one yellow brick road. It's who goes down with you that counts.
Okay. I'll buy that. So with all of those steps and that level of success, what was the big break? Was the strip club the big break? Was In Living Color the big break? Is the music the big break? Are you still just big breaking to big breaking?
Yeah, you know, what's the movie with Keanu Reeves and the other white guy? Point Break, I guess.
Yeah, the surfing movie?
Yeah. That's okay. What I'm doing, man. Cowabunga, baby, you know? It's like one after the other, you know, my eyes are open to what's next. You know, I have a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of optimism about not only this country, but this world. And I know that I can be a part of its solution. So I'm using my hands a lot today. But Yeah.
I do the same thing, man. Like, what happened was
solution. And so I'm just glad at the age I'm at that I've found my purpose, which is to be here and to do good.
Fun fact, I'm not writing anything down. I hold this pen because if I don't, my hands are all over the place. So that was one of the things.
I got to do that when I do cartoons.
Listen, I had to figure that out.
I got to hold a pen because I got to go over the lines because I don't really study my lines. You know, they let me just do what's there. And I can do them right on the, you know, on the at the moment, you know. So I have my pencil, so I'm going, you know, you need to stop that. And you do, you know.
Yeah.
So I started holding something. As long as I can have my pen, I can do any cartoon you want.
I started holding something. When I was anchoring the news, I had a co-host, and she was convinced I was going to slap her in the mouth. Because I was just like, you don't understand what's going on. And they're like, yo, here, hold the pen, hold the pad, hold something.
Right.
Stop slapping people in the mouth. So when did you know, with all those things, and you're continuing on the yellow brick road and people going down with you, and there's, you know, one success story to the next success story, was there a point in this journey where you felt like, okay, this is the big thing, or was it always keep going? Because In Living Color was a big thing. That's when everybody was like, okay, I know him. But it wasn't the only thing.
Right. You know, well, you know, that was the big thing. That was the big thing. And I don't know if anything bigger is going to come along, because the big thing for me was where I got to express myself most, and where I got to use all of my talents at once, you know, at once. So they're being trickled out, you know, as my life goes on. But on that one show, I can show them all at one time, you know, and all of us could.
Well, and it was also, and the whole kind of concept you're talking about, the, you know, making the world a better place, you see people together and doing things. Like, I see all those stories. Obviously, I wasn't there, the behind the scenes, but yourself and Jim Carrey and all of these folks who were working on this kind of message show all seem to be rowing in the same direction. It seemed like a much bigger thing than let's just do a comedy show. Like, let's change things.
Yeah, we were family, and we knew that there was no show like that ever on the air. So we really took advantage of it. But when I say take advantage of it, we really were determined to have fun with it the whole way out. And we knew it was going to translate to the audience, because we knew we were picked to do it. It was a very long audition process. Everybody you know who's a comedian right now audition for it. The ones who got it are the ones who got the show. And the ones who got it were the ones that had the versatility to do it. And so, you know, there that goes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you are on tour right now. You're in, what, Connecticut right now?
Yeah, I'm in Hartford, Connecticut. The Funny Bone here. I've been coming here for probably about 20 years. Always diverse audiences, like Philly.
Yeah. Well, you have...
Like Philly.
And then you're coming... You'll be in Philly August 9th through 11th, doing multiple shows at Helium. But Philly, it's not your home, but it sounds like you've kind of got a history with Philly. You like coming here.
Oh, yeah. Philly's beautiful. I'm from D.C. So it's our second city, really. And a lot of good stuff started here. I did my second comedy special here, which was the best comedy special I ever did. I met Will Smith years ago before the TV show at the studio with him and his boy, you know, Jazzy Jeff.
Jazzy Jeff.
And one of my best friends that I worked with was from Philly. So I was always in Philly. Okay, and so now I got friends for life. I mean, Philly is like, what you gonna do, man?
I feel like comedians either love us or hate us, man, because we have a well-earned reputation. Like, we can be a little tough when you come to Philly. So we earned the love part of it from you?
Well, you know what? You earned the love part of it from me because, you know, Philly is the perfect mix. You know, it's tough with a whole lot of love. You know what I mean? You got to kind of be tough to get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just really deal with the truth. People in Philadelphia will tell you exactly what's going on in their mind. I'm like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. They're like, hey, man, what you want me to say, man? You know what I mean?
Right. Don't ask me if you're not ready to hear the real answer.
Yeah, you know, just straight up.
That's what Philly is.
I told my friend from Philadelphia, I'm moving to California, you know, to get into TV and movies. And he was in his car and he didn't even look up. He's looking at his steering wheel. He said, if I was you, I'd have been gone. And didn't say nothing else. What do you mean by that? I'm not saying nothing else, man. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Philly, man.
I mean, that's real. That's
you know.
Yeah, we're extra.
Only person supposedly from Philly that talks a lot is Rocky. You know.
Yeah.
Rocky talks a lot. We run my house, Mick. It stinks. The rest stink, Mick. I love you for those famous. You know. He goes on and on. Rambo. I used to be in Judge Me. He's all equipment. You know. So anyway, besides that. Yeah. I'll add Will to the thing.
Okay. Only Philly. We sit there and embrace and like, you know, just like the real authentic Philadelphian, that imaginary character. Right? We love it. Embrace it. Throwing quotes around and whatnot. And not Sylvester Stallone. You're like, just like Rocky said. Like, wait, what? That's a movie. Anyway, so when you come into town with all of the different things that you do, what's a Tommy Davidson comedy show look like? What can we expect?
Expect the unexpected, which is always, expect to laugh from when I get on there until I get off there. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your race, what it is. I got something for everybody.
You still love everybody. This?
Oh, I mean, it's my passion. It's the only thing that I could do that nobody, you know, I don't have to ask anybody to do it. I could just get up there and do it. I don't have to read no lines or nothing. I just go, okay, here we go. You know, it's a really, really, really good thing for me.
And just
it's my therapy too.
So we're not going to see you though breaking out instruments during the comedy show, right? Are we going to get some of that performance also, or no? You never know what
you
might
get
happen.
The singing. I always somehow end up singing somehow, but it just depends because every show is different. I'm not the kind of comedian that has a routine. I come up, I start doing stuff, I fill it out, and then I just do what's to be done that night for whoever's there. I could just feel it. It's like an instinct.
I feel like asking somebody who's done this much, this many movies, this many TV shows, continues to be on tour, now has an album, is an author. I feel like asking you what's next is a little ridiculous, but I'm going to do it anyway because, you know.
That's okay.
Whatever.
That's okay.
What's next?
You know, I started a company called One Song, and we're a global, I won't say content, we're a global entertainment company. So I plan on doing TV, movies, or whatever I want to do, not only here in the States, but around the world. I've been able to travel the world countless times. And there are a lot of people out there that aren't really portrayed like they really are. And I think if I do TV shows and I do movies and I do that stuff out there, like it's done here. Plus their TV sucks. I want to prove it. You know what I mean? Okay. So that's another goal, but that's encompassing. That's a lot of work and a lot in the future.
Couple more, I'm gonna let you go. I appreciate you taking this much time with us. Looking forward to you being in Philly August 9th through the 11th. A couple more things. Now you are the person who a bunch of those people kind of saw you. You got the opportunities. You got people helping. What's your OG advice and the hand that you're offering to other people who may want to follow your path?
Stay on stage. Stay on stage. The stage will launch you. 7 nights a week, you should be at a comedy club. 7 nights a week. You know, I did it till I was, you know, but it's automatic. It's like a reflex. It's there and it ain't going nowhere. And that's because of all that work put in.
I like it. And then our final question for everybody who comes on The Pulse, the theme of the show is use your voice for good. So we ask everybody as a closing comment, when they hear the phrase, use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
That means you have one. And use it for everyone's benefit.
Like
use it for everyone's benefit. You know, we can use this in and some boy in some ways, you know. But the people that grab the good people gravitate toward people who have good things to say.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with comedian, actor, author, philanthropist, just generally good dude, Tommy Davidson. It was cool kind of hearing the stories, especially as somebody who grew up watching some of the shows or seeing some of the movies he's on. I often say that it feels really good when people turn out to be as positive individuals as you would hope they were. And he absolutely was. Do me a favor, hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is on your screen so you get a notification every time the next episode of The Pulse is available. You also can hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. I'm always interested in hearing from you. And also, download the Fox Local app. No matter where you are, all of the episodes of The Pulse are right there at your fingertips. And there have been some good ones, so I encourage you to check it out. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I absolutely did, and I leave you today as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.